Fantasy Edge with Richard Seville and Dennis Sosik.
Hello and welcome to the first Fantasy Edge podcast of 2022 season. And we got lots to talk about because we haven't done a podcast for nearly a year. Dennis Sosik, as you know, is with me now, and here's Dennis now. It's Dennis.
Thanks for the intro. Appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome. How's it going, man?
How you doing, Richard?
We just did our first draft. Well, I don't know. It's my first draft. I don't know if you've done other drafts. Well, no, it's not. Not technically, it's not because I've done the Scott Fish. So this is. I can consider this my first draft of the year. Was this your first?
No, I was not in Scott Fish. I didn't get. Didn't get the invite this year, but I've been in other drafts besides that one.
Right.
I was in the Warrior Bowl and probably playoff and other tournaments and stuff. So this is my first live on the clock one that I had to do. The other ones were, 8-hour, 4-hour time limits.
I don't count those. I don't count those as proper drafts because that's, you got to kind of like think quickly. I mean, anything over 3 minutes is like, come on, it's just ridiculous. Yeah.
You start out thinking yourself with that instead of just going with your first gut instinct. It drives you crazy. Well, at least it does for me. I made I'll be on a clock 8 hours a pick. I made pick three different players and then, go back to another player and switch back and forth. That's mind boggling sometimes. Like I said, I like the quick clock and, go with your gut, go to the next pick.
I'm right with you there. Well, actually, our F6P draft start off as a 5-minute draft, and then partway through, around the sixth or seventh round, whichever it was, Joe piped in, "Come on, we got to speed this up." And it was, right. And they had to because it was getting,
too drawn out.
Yeah. Well, too drawn out, and you start doing other stuff while waiting for your turn, because you figure your turn isn't going to be for like half an hour,
right? Yeah.
So you're off, and then you kind of lose your. In long drive, you kind of lose your head. You got to get your head back in it suddenly.
Right. Yeah, it's the momentum and your focus on, what your plan is and what other people are drafting. So it takes a little away from your game plan.
Yeah. So a little bit of the news before we get on to our preseason first show. Preseason. We're going to probably, we have so much material to go through, we're going to have to split this up and finish it next week or the week after even. There's lots of stuff to talk about. And the first thing I think we should talk about is the news. James White retired. I don't think that's too much of a surprise. And besides, you've got, Ramondre Stevenson basically steps into the shoes full on. And I think he was already kind of a 1B on that with, I drafted the guy and I can't even remember his
name. Damien Harris.
Damien Harris.
Yeah.
I drafted him as Scott Fishbowl. Can't remember his name, but. And we can talk about that combo somewhere down the line, and whether Patriots running backs are worth it. They haven't been really reliable fantasy players, but I think Damien Harris is well worthwhile. But James White, no big loss there. But I think it's kind of he's kind of one of those guys where you can kind of look. He never won a league for me, but I think he's probably won a league for somebody.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, he was a PPR monster. Brady was there dumping the ball off to him. Obviously, helped win the Super Bowl. And, he was a great player for a few years. He was a nice fantasy option, that's for sure.
Yeah. Also in the news, the saga with Deshaun Watson. As most of you know, he got a 6-month suspension from an independent arbiter, and the NFL has decided to, they didn't like that, so they wanted to appeal it, and they're looking for a 1-year suspension, but Deshaun Watson has come forward with, why don't you fine me $5 million and 8 games of the season. He's saying, let's make a deal. So what do you think? So Do you think the NFL, do you think it'll go anywhere?
Yeah, I don't think they're ever going to get a year. So I think they're going to settle for, I think they'll try to up it from 8 games, but I wouldn't be surprised if he gets the deal quickly and he doesn't get suspended for the whole season. But as a Browns fan, I can't stand Deshaun Watson. The trade, the whole drama around it, I'll never get that trade. Giving up that much draft capital, signing him to a guaranteed contract, and, you know, signing him a huge bonus. And we use that signing bonus basically to, you know, pay off the woman he unfortunately did whatever he did to them. It's the whole idea, the whole scenario is asinine. But I mean, he's a great player, but is he worth all this drama and all this BS? I don't think so. It's in my world.
And what about the Browns are seriously considering bringing in Jimmy Garoppolo to cover the whatever finally comes down. What do you think of that move? And does it help the Browns at all, or is it?
Yeah, I mean, he's an upgrade over Jacoby Brissett. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. I know there's always rumors about Jimmy G coming to Cleveland, before, even during the Baker years, that every time Baker had a bad game, they always wanted to trade. And especially after the 49ers selected Lance, they wanted to try to move him. So, it's an upgrade over Brissett, I think. And I don't know if the Browns would do that or not, but, I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't think they would. I think they'll stay true to Brissett, but also depends upon how long Watson gets. If he gets more than, let's say, 10 games, I wouldn't be surprised if he did it, but I think.
Okay. What other news have we got? Have I missed anything, Dennis? I don't think so.
We got preseason games.
The preseason starts tonight. We had the Hall of Fame game last week. And now this week we start three preseason games. Do you like it going to four? I mean, what did you think of four game or going down to three last year? Now, this is kind of where we've kind of got to settle into the idea of a three game preseason. I think it's what they did was that they shifted one game into the regular season. I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, I think most of the preseason is kind of a waste, but going to three games makes sense. I it's more for the guys on the cusp of making the team.
Yeah.
Otherwise, practice enough between the training camp and up to the season that getting a live game, especially if you're a veteran, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. But these games are important because I like to see the, this is where you're going to get a look at the rookies. And yeah. I mean, okay, in a lot of cases, the rookies are going up against other rookies on the defense or second teamers and stuff like that. It's always a mixed bag. I mean, but usually for the first drive, I think you get more in the, I guess it's now the second preseason game is now the dress rehearsal. Is that how it goes now?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, that makes sense.
So, yeah, I think those are kind of the games. The second week is kind of the games you kind of want to focus on, at least the first half of those games. And because, we want to see our stars in action to see how they've, because a lot of players have bulked up this season. And we heard about Leonard Fournette coming into camp quite a bit overweight. I think he's down again now. But
yeah, that's drama with that too. But there's something to talk about.
Yeah. This is all the things and that we are going to talk about. And I think we should just slide into players that have changed teams, starting with some quarterbacks. We'll start at the highest one that's made a change, and the one that's in the top 10, at least my rankings of top 10. Russell Wilson moving to Denver. When we're discussing Russell Wilson, we can also talk about Geno Smith and Drew Lock for the Seahawks and what that does to the fantasy situation over there. But first of all, let's focus on Russell Wilson. I think it's a good move to Denver, obviously, and for him and he can turn Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton into stars, fantasy stars that you can actually trust for a change.
Right. Oh yeah, I love it for. The talent around them is tremendous. Jeudy and Sutton, and you're getting healthy KJ Hamler, hopefully, as well. I mean, I hate to hear about Tim Patrick, getting hurt, being out for the year. I mean, I had him targeted in a lot of drafts when Eric Wilson was going there. I think Wilson's a dark horse to finish as the quarterback one this year.
Wow.
With that offense, yeah. And with that offense and, you know, those that running game they have, plus in that division where we have a bunch of shootouts, and with that, the offenses in that division, I wouldn't be, you know, it's a dark horse, but I mean, it wouldn't be a surprise. He could run the ball. They have the talent around them to cook, that's for sure.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm very high on they're all strong targets for me, Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. I especially Jerry Jeudy. I consider him kind of if you want to talk about roles that players had with him in the Seahawks and sort of transpose that into the Denver Broncos, I guess you could say Courtland Sutton is kind of the Tyler Lockett and Jerry Jeudy is kind of the DK Metcalf. Would that be...
pretty accurate, I think. Yeah, I mean, it's different games. I mean, they have different skill set, I should say. But yeah, I can agree with that. I actually love KJ Hamler, too, if he's healthy. I mean, he is a fast, you know what? So, I mean, I think he'll be throwing some bombs to him as well. So I can't wait to see what Russ does in that offense.
Yeah. And he is, you're right about him. He's, where have I got him ranked? I'm kind of low on him. I think I have him at 94 as WR94.
Yeah.
Maybe I should move him up a little higher.
Yeah, the news just broke a little. What was it, a week ago, so that he was starting to finally practice again. So I think the ranking, it'll start going up higher and higher. So he's a dark horse. I want to get him every one of my leagues.
Yeah.
Put him on the bench and stash him, and hopefully he comes through for us.
Yeah, definitely a late round nugget there. All right. Why don't you move on with your own quarterback? That there's lots of them to move. Baker Mayfield, you take your pick. There's lots of them to talk about.
Yeah, I'll go with somebody we talked about before the show started, Mitch Trubisky.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he is a local guy for me. He actually went to the high school I live in now. So, so he's he plays for Pittsburgh. I have a lot of friends and family that are Steelers fans, which is good and bad. But they praise Trubisky, which he has some talent. But I think he will have a short lead.
Yeah, he does have a short leash. I would agree with you there. But when it was a bit odd when the Steelers just recently came out with their depth chart, and Kenny Pickett, the rookie that they drafted, was third.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. Maybe it's a little motivation for him.
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, you already have Mason Rudolph as your backup. I mean, that's kind of, he is such a bad quarterback. I'm not sure how he's still in the league, but it's a little motivation for Pickett to step up and go challenge, hopefully, at least Rudolph and maybe Trubisky down the road.
Make him work for it. That's probably it, right?
Right. Yeah, I agree.
So yeah. That makes it sound. But are in deep leagues? Are we gonna, or two quarterback leagues, or like when to stash? Is Kenny Pickett somebody you would stash in a 2QB league or a superflex?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if I would trust the fact that he would actually play this season. But Dynasty, of course, he would. I mean, that's a golden ticket there. But otherwise, I think I steer away from that. I'm not sure what's going to happen in that offense. I mean, they have talent on that offense. I mean, George Pickens has been, the buzz in camp. He's been phenomenal. And, they have Deontay, who should be happy now that he signed his contract. And Najee, who's, workhorse. So they have the talent around them. If the offensive line can pick up, they should be okay. I mean, Big Ben was not that much a quarterback last year. He couldn't throw deep at all. So the offense was limited. I think at least Trubisky could throw it deep and create a little bit more open space for Najee to run.
Yeah.
So, it'll be different. I can see Trubisky being a quarterback, too, in the Superflex. But I don't think I would trust Pickett.
Right. Lots of other quarterbacks have moved, like Marcus Mariota. Well, I'm looking at the list here. And we've got Carson Wentz, and we mentioned Jimmy Garoppolo might be moving. And, of course, this handful, yeah. But we can discuss them at a further time. I think a couple of quarterbacks is enough for now. I mean, let's move on to the running backs that have moved. Have you got one that comes to mind that's moved?
No, I was racking my brain trying to find one. I couldn't find one that actually moved.
Usually running backs that move, you don't send running backs. Oh, Ronald Jones.
Yeah, Ronald Jones. Yeah, I mean, he's actually I mean, if you saw the latest, I mean, he's kind of like third on that depth chart, and there's rumors he may be cut even. So even though I drafted him a couple of my leagues already, taking a shot for, you know, get any piece of the Kansas City offense you want to try, but maybe that's something that's not going to happen though. I mean, he's behind, he's a rookie Pacheco now too. So, you know, they got McKinnon back, you know, CH is there. So, I mean, I was hoping that Jones would do something, but it looks like he's not contributing enough to make an impact right now.
Right. Other movers and shakers here. Let's see what we've got. I'm just going through here. Marlon Mack moved last year. You're right, Dennis. There's not really much in the way of, but I don't trust. I guess you can talk about Damian Williams in Atlanta. Which actually, to tell you the truth, if Damian Williams has a legit shot as a dark horse in that offense.
I think the rookie that Tyler Algiers being pretty impressive in camp so far. So they're going to give it to him first. I think we'll try him first, and Williams probably be the safety valve in case he doesn't. And they got, of course, Cordell's there too. So who knows what position he's playing.
I don't think Cordell Patterson is RBWR, and I think they're going to just I don't think they're going to, you know, use him like they have in the past year, like past couple of years.
Trying to get Pitts more involved, and then they drafted Drake London, so that should be, he looks like a stud right now. Just a matter of Mariota being able to get the ball to them.
Mm. I don't see many others. I guess you can talk. We can talk. We can really go down to Giovanni Bernard going to Tampa Bay. I think Gio's pretty much spent as a fantasy force. Obviously, you've already got Fournette there, and so not really much to say. You're not drafting Gio anymore.
No, not at all. No. Not worth the draft.
I guess it's kind of odd. It seems like yesterday he was a viable draft option.
Yeah.
It seems that it's gone years. So let's move to WRs who have made the move, and there's a few of those. Most notably, Davante Adams. Wide receivers who have left Aaron Rodgers have not done very well. I mean, I can name a couple that were top pass catchers in fantasy.
Right.
You know, Jennings, you remember him?
Yeah, absolutely.
And Greg Jennings and the other stud, what was his name? He went to the Raiders as well. What was his name?
James Jones.
Oh, James Jones. No, the other guy. He was always at the top of the, what was his name? Tall guy. White guy.
No, Jordy Nelson?
Jordy, that's right.
Yeah, I think he was washed up by the time he left there.
That's true. I guess you can say that Davante Adams isn't washed up. But, you know, I'm still kind of leery about wide receivers who have left. And Greg Jennings went to the Raiders, too.
Yeah, that's crazy, isn't it?
And Davante Adams, he's in there with the Raiders. What happens? What happens to these guys? They go south. So I've got Davante Adams kind of low on my rankings, like number 18. I'm sort of head. That's kind of the lowest point I would hedge on him. But I'm not targeting Davante Adams because of the former Aaron Rodgers number one receiver syndrome.
Well, I mean, it's kind of low. It's kind of surprising.
Yeah, I'm having him. I'm not interested in Davante Adams. I'm not going to. Because Derek Carr is not. He can't hold a candle to Aaron Rodgers, right? Let's face it.
Oh, of course. But those two are college, former college teammates. They have a rapport. So I have Adams like in the, I definitely don't have him in front of me, but I bet you he's a top 10 for sure. So I think he's going to get the ball a lot there.
Yeah. I think, he'll get the ball there, but, is it going to be any good? That remains to be seen. Who else have we got that have moved? Course, the Biggie. Yeah, Tyreek. Well, you go first on that, Tim. What do you say about that?
Yeah, Tyreek, obviously, you know, leaves Kansas City to go play with the better quarterback when he says Tua. Just kind of funny in itself. But, I don't see Tyreek making that. I think that's a big downgrade for him, and you know, especially with the other weapons they have, what they think they have there. I think Tyreek's going to be kind of a bust this year.
Yeah, I think Tyreek will be a bust, but he's kind of a guy I'm hedging on as well, just in case. Because I just don't think it more hurts. I think the upside of Jalen Waddle, who I really liked last year, I thought he was a budding star.
Yeah, I agree.
And
he was a stud in the second half.
Yeah, and it hurts his upside, but I still want to have him on my team for some reason, because I just feel like I could see the chemistry between Tua and Jalen Waddle in the season. I thought, especially in the second half of the season, I could see this. Oh, I see something coming together here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I was. And Tyreek's there. I know he's going to demand the ball there, so he's going to.
Yeah, that's true.
He's going to cut into Waddle's potential. You know, Waddle's getting drafted. You know, in the drafts I've been in so far, he's very highly thought of, probably based upon last season more than projected for this season. I'd be worried about taking him that high, because Tyreek's going to demand the ball a lot more. And they got a whole stable of running backs too. I mean, it's like they signed everybody and their mom to play running back this year. So yeah, I'd be leery about that. You know, picking someone high. I mean, you know, they're going to score. Obviously, they're going to be productive, but I don't know if I would, you know, spend that much draft capital on Waddle or even Hill to that extent.
Yeah, because to be honest, I don't think. Well, for one thing, I know this. I know this for a fact, and this is completely. And I don't know how you could disagree with this. I cannot see Tua. Producing 2,000-plus receivers. It's not going to happen.
I 100% agree with that. Yeah, he's not that type of quarterback. He's more like a, you know, I don't know, he's not accurate, and he's, it's going to be a big test for him this year to see what he can do. If he doesn't do well, he's going to be someone's backup next year.
Well, he was even kind of on the bubble, sort of on the bubble in Miami, as they were looking to maybe trade him or something like that.
Yeah, they were looking for Deshaun.
That's right, yeah. They were in the Deshaun market there. And but that didn't come together. But the point is that they were looking.
Right.
That's the point. Yeah, they want an upgrade. They don't think Tua's the guy. I mean, and Tua, will Tyreek Hill get 1,000 yards?
Yeah, probably. I think so. Probably not much will score, but he'll get the yardage. But I don't think he'll score them.
Can Waddle get close? Maybe 800, 900?
Yeah, I was gonna say 800, 850 maybe. I'm thinking
something like that.
Somewhere in that range. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Who knows what that offense is gonna look like, because you know they had new coaching, and like I said earlier, they have that stable running backs. They put it. I'm not sure what how their offense is gonna look. That's kind of a mystery what they're gonna do this season on their play calling.
Right. But, Hollywood Brown. Hollywood Brown to Arizona. Injured? Is he still injured, or is what's going on with his? He had an injury, I believe. Oh no! That's right. He had an arrest.
Yeah, we're driving a little too fast.
That was but he's speeding, right? But that's nothing. Yeah. He'll be all right with that.
He'll be fine. Yeah, that's a. I like the move for him. I think he'll do well there. I mean, with Kyler, I mean, they're already they have a relationship from playing in Oklahoma, so they're. I think he'll do well there. They have, you know, with no DeAndre there for the first 6 games, he's going to be, between Brown and AJ Green, I guess.
Yeah.
And Zach Ertz. I mean, there's some weapons there.
Yeah, Marquise Brown, he'll turn into a sell high guy, won't he?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. As soon as he has a breakout game, that's the guy you sell away.
Yeah, you got to sell him high. Oh, if he has a big game in from Kyler Murray, that'd be, yeah. Who have you found on the list that's moved in that way?
Someone that I'm kind of targeting in my draft is Juju.
Juju? Okay. Finally something we can disagree on.
Yeah, I think he's going to get the... I mean, he's going to get a lot of catches there. He probably won't produce many touchdowns, but I think the yardage and the catches, I think he's going to go bad too, like where he was with, you know, Big Ben. Racking all those yards and catches. You know, I mean, that offense, I mean, who knows who's going to get the ball there now, because they have so many different weapons now. And I think in a way that actually helps Mahomes, believe it or not. I think a lot of times he was just throwing the ball to Tyreek. A lot of times it worked, obviously. But I think he has a lot more different kinds of weapons. So I think Juju gets the ball a ton PPR-wise. I think he'll do very well.
Yes and no. But I still think the middle of the field belongs to Travis Kelce, obviously.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
And so Juju's not the downfield guy. I think the dark horse here, believe it or not, and this sounds, you're going to say this sounds strange and weird, but well, it's quarter between. Okay, we're looking at Sky Moore and we're looking at Mecole Hardman, but I think I think late in the draft you don't do badly for wasting a pick on Mecole Hardman.
Yeah,
I think true. if You're not wasting a pick. You're not wasting a pick if you take Mecole Hardman late in your drafts.
Well, plus you got MVS there too. So
not so much him. And I know that a lot of people were down on Mecole Hardman, but let's face it, he was playing in the shadow of Tyreek Hill like all his career.
Absolutely.
And but I think there's one fly in the ointment here, and that's Sky Moore, this rookie, and you know what Mahomes is like. Mahomes likes to just fire the guns, and if this guy's good, I mean, he's gonna Sky Moore could be the new guy,
right? Absolutely,
go to guy for those big yardage touchdowns. And
yeah,
I'm still scratching my head. You know, even to this day, I'm still scratching my head why they let go of why there wasn't at least. I know Chiefs fans were jumping up and down in fury about losing Tyreek Hill. I mean, but yeah. But Mahomes has got to settle down this crowd and make him say, like, see how good we did make the right move. Like,
right. You know. They have to prove it on the field. I mean, Sky Moore, he's kind of a wild card in this, what they do in that offense. I mean, I think Juju is a PPR guy. MVS is, you know, the deep ball guy. I mean, he's probably more of a best ball receiver you want to take instead of your regular drafts. And I think Sky Moore is like the walker. Well, I'm not sure what he's going to do. I think it sounds good, but let's see him do it on Sunday and see what he can do. Yeah. I like to see what he can do. Hopefully he gets a rapport with Mahomes quick and he explodes, but a lot of weapons there now.
But yeah, I think Juju, honestly, Dennis, I think Juju bust.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I disagree there. I think PPR-wise, I think he'll do very well.
I know.
So we'll see.
We'll agree to disagree on that. My next will be Robert Woods to Tennessee. Washed up here. Questionable. I mean, I have him at WR47 in my ranks. I just don't have the... I get the feeling of like he's going back to his old Buffalo days. It just seemed like he was in the ideal spot with the Rams, and now I'm not even very interested in him as a late round flyer or sleeper or anything like that. I just don't. I'm not saying he's washed up, far from it, but it's the offense he's in. It's, you know, this is the Derrick Henry show. And
yes, it is.
And there's really, and you know, AJ Brown wasn't able to. I mean, he was okay. AJ Brown was okay in this offense, but it wasn't. He wasn't the presence that other players on the field, notably Derrick Henry, of course, is. I mean, until they lost him halfway through the season, but it just doesn't seem like it's that kind of offense where Robert Woods could flourish.
Yeah, I'm not picking Robert Woods this year. I mean, I think he's more of a good, you know, wide receiver two on an NFL team. So, like, you know, he was second to Cup, obviously, did very well there. But, you know, he's going to have to be the number one in Tennessee. I mean, Treylon Burks is there. They drafted him. But, I mean, he's still proven, obviously. And I really don't trust Tannehill as a quarterback anymore. He's kind of on the downside of his career. And like you mentioned earlier, that offense is built around Henry and everything's going through Henry. So I'm not sure how many opportunities Woods is going to get there.
Yeah, it could turn out that, that a tight end pulls even with you, you know?
Yeah, Austin Hooper.
Yep.
I mentioned talking a little bit. But yeah, one receiver that we failed to mention was Allen Robinson.
Of course.
He was, I think he's going to do phenomenal there. I'm trying to target him in my drafts this year. He's always a good, very good receiver. Didn't have a good quarterback play, obviously, in Chicago, but I think here, even though he's the second guy, Robert Woods was successful and Robinson's better than Robert Woods is. So I think, Robinson's going to have a great year.
Slightly better, I would say. I don't think Robinson is as good as his breakout days in Jacksonville. I mean, okay, yeah, he went to the Bears, and the Bears were, like, you know, kind of wasted time, the Bears there.
Yeah, no quarterback.
No, it didn't have a quarterback. Had Trubisky, even. He was there in the Trubisky times, so.
Yeah.
I mean, we're definitely going to see what happens to Deontay Johnson. And incidentally, that's something we didn't talk about when we were mentioning Trubisky is the effect on Deontay Johnson. I think with Deontay Johnson, and this is just incidentally, I know I'm kind of backtracking a bit here, but I think it's worthy to be covered. covered is that trade with Mitch Trubisky. I don't think that it seemed more like Deontay Johnson got the targets because Ben Roethlisberger liked him. It seemed like he was Ben Roethlisberger's favorite. And that's the only reason I think Deontay Johnson, you know, kind of elevated ahead of Claypool and Washington and the rest of who were playing.
Juju, yeah.
And Juju at the time. So I think that's why Deontay Johnson, I'm not saying Deontay Johnson's a great player. And I kind of like when, and he escapes injury, like you think, like you're always kind of scared, like, oh no, where's Deontay Johnson? He's off. Oh, he's hurt his foot. But then he gets back out there. I kind of like a player like that. That's good that Deontay Johnson fights through injuries. He's sort of injury prone, but he walks away from them.
Yeah.
It's just that I'm not sure whether Trubisky Johnson sounds like a tandem. Maybe it is, but I don't know. I still have him at WR19. I have him behind Devontae Adams at 18.
It goes Adams again. Yeah.
Yeah, Adams. Yeah, but just.
So if you had a pick, who would you pick, Deontay or Adams?
I would have to. Force me to choose between. I'd pick another option.
Okay.
Honestly, I would pick the next lower. I got Waddle at 20. I might even go. Wow. Gee, McLaurin and Wentz. I don't know. Yeah, I really don't know. If I'm forced to choose, I guess I'd take Adams. No, Johnson. Johnson. I'll take Johnson. I'll take Johnson.
Why would you choose
not
that?
Comfortably? Because I told you, like I think Devontae Adams is a bustable property. He has lots of bustability.
Yeah, I would say Johnson is more of a bustability than Adams.
Well, they both do. They both do, but you forced me to choose.
Yeah, I you know, especially, you know, with Mitch, I mean, you don't know. He has his moments, but, plus, you know, they have Claypool on the other side. And as I said earlier, George Pickens has been, shining in camp so far. They got Freiermuth, who does a lot of the, red zone work. And, of course, Najee, who gets the ball everywhere. There's a lot of weapons there to choose from. So, you know, I don't know. I would rather have Adams, sure. I mean, like I said earlier, he's top 10 receiver for me. Johnson's probably in your range, you know, 15, 20, maybe even lower. It's because of the quarterback, or not certain of the quarterback play there. So I'd probably push it down a little bit more.
I'm not sure. I might push Devontae Adams up, but I'm not confident. I'm not confident. I believe in these fates. I mean, we've seen it three times. Is that right? Greg Jennings, right? And you mentioned Jordy Nelson, and you mentioned James Jones.
Yeah.
There's probably another guy too.
Yeah, I think it's different circumstance because of the relationship between Carr and Adams. I think that makes a big difference.
Maybe.
To that equation. I think it's, they already have a rapport, so I think that'll be an easier transition for them to sparkle in that offense. And I think he's going to want to prove himself, and, you know, Carr will make sure Adams is happy. So.
Okay. I'll push him up a couple of spots just for you.
Okay.
So he's not so low. 18 maybe is a bit. Maybe I'm being a bit too, but I still want to be in that hedge zone. But that's also that thing is, you know, I mean, Hunter Renfro is kind of a favorite with Carr these days. Anyways, let's move on. we could spend hours on that Devontae Adams thing. Is there anybody? Well, I guess we could talk about Julio Jones.
Yeah. Who knows?
This was a recent pickup. He was a free agent for a long time. I think it was just a couple of weeks ago that he finally landed on Tampa Bay. Right. So
that must be worried. I mean, I know Godwin's been practicing. We're trying to practice, and maybe they're worried about how long it's going to take for him to actually come back to full speed. So they grab Jones to, you know, in the absence of that. So, I mean, he's worth a shot. I mean, of course, he's a veteran. Hopefully he can stay healthy. He's had that problem the past couple of years as he got older. So he's a big body to him, especially no Gronk there. It could be a goal line option for Brady.
Yeah, he's kind of like, he's a spent force, obviously. I mean, he's not anywhere near his glory days, but his glory fantasy days. And, you know, he was somebody, he was one of the wide receivers you always picked up, but he's turned into those, you know, the veteran, you know, the Reggie Wayne thing, you know.
Right, yeah.
So, anyways, is there anybody? I think we pretty much covered it all, this guy.
Yeah,
are we doing on time?
Yeah.
Oh, we're doing good for time. Righty, we got about 15 minutes left in the show. So let's move on to tight ends.
Okay.
And
we talked about one.
Did we?
One earlier with Austin Hooper.
Oh, yeah, Austin Hooper. Well, let's start with him then. Yeah. Finish off the discussion with him.
Yeah, I think he's doing pretty well there. We talked earlier, they have the weapons are kind of not proven. You know, Woods, hopefully, is healthy to come after his surgery. And Hooper needs to redeem himself after a poor showing in Cleveland. So I think he could be a sneaky tight end to have. You know, if you like to punt tight ends until the end, and you're choosing a sleeper. He's as good as any other one of the sleepers that are out there.
Yeah, I suppose so. As good as Noah Fant in Seattle, which it's kind of hard to draft anybody from Seattle.
I mean,
we were talking about players that train, and of course, you know, you got Drew Lock and Geno Smith. And I guess it's not really, I don't know why they didn't. Well, they made it clear that they were never going to go for Garoppolo.
I'm surprised by that.
And they never even made a play for, they were just going to go for this. They're just going to bridge it this year, I guess. And just throw away, pick up. I mean, I don't think the Seahawks have got a good draft pick until, I don't know, 2025 or something. I don't know.
Yeah, something ridiculous. Yeah. I think Pete needs to retire. I'm surprised he didn't. You know, Russell left. I mean, what are they going to do now? I mean, they got quarterback. It's up in the air. Who's going to be there with Locke and Smith? None of them really enthused me at all. And I was surprised Metcalf didn't get traded. I thought he was going to.
Yeah. He'll want to be.
Even Lockett. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Even Lockett, too. I thought he would. Moved on. And he still might be, who knows. But it's going to all come down to the running game there. And if Penny can stay healthy and he's ready not even playing this preseason first week because it's some kind of groin injury I saw.
Right.
So we may see Kenny Walker shine there. And I mean, who knows? I mean, that team is something you probably want to steer away from in fans.
Yeah. Let's see. Anybody else that's moved? OJ Howard at the Buffalo? It's Dawson Knox. And he's just OJ Howard. Yeah. He never materialized. There was high hopes for him. He was, you know, but I really don't think there's not even any post hype interest for him.
No, I agree. Another tight end that I like is Hayden Hurst.
Oh, yeah.
Cincinnati,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that with that offense. I mean, he's gonna have some openings in the middle of the field with everyone chasing. And you know, Boyd's obviously there and Higgins. I mean, he's gonna have some open space out there. So everyone's raving about how good he's looked in camp. So I'd take a dart throw at Hurst.
Maybe, but I really don't think he's the red zone guy. I think the red zone guy has got to be Higgins and Chase. It has to be. Hurst is probably okay. Hurst is probably gonna get those red zone shots. You know, but it seems to me that I don't know. Burrow would always kind of. I think he wants to hit his big receivers, you know, like Higgins and Chase, right? He wants to hit those guys. And even Boyd, you know. Boyd was getting in there.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of iffy. I mean, we didn't really who did they have last year? And he did do well enough in, you know, he's a bye week fill kind of guy. What was his
I
name?
Agree.
I forget his name.
Anyways. Yeah, CJ Uzama.
CJ Uzama, that's right.
Yeah, he went to the Jets this year.
Oh, that's
so
right.
He was on.
So his fantasy life ends there.
Yeah, I mean, Uzama would get like two catches for 2 yards and 2 touchdowns. You know what I mean? That's all he would do. And like, if you're lucky to play him that week and you took a shot at him, then, you know, he was obviously a huge bonus for you. But otherwise, he can give you a lot of zeros.
Yeah.
But you never know. Hurst is a different talent. So, I mean, I don't know. It's a dart throw. I mean, he's a throwaway. If he doesn't do well, you just cut him and go for the next, you know, the next best thing that comes out at tight end. Whoever shines in the first couple of weeks.
Yep, that's good. Right, so we are going to, we spent almost a whole hour talking about changes, but we've got time to fit in one more category and we can leave the next until next week and for part rookies. 2 of our preseason. Yeah, let's talk about fantasy rookies. If we don't get through them all, we can finish up the topic next week. Let's I guess we'll start just how we did with the change at roster changes. We'll go to we'll go with quarterbacks first. Rookie quarterbacks. Well, we talked about Kenny Pickett, so we won't go over him. How about Desmond Ridder with Mariota? Is obviously he's getting his first and last chance, I guess, for as a starter. Yeah. You know, I really think that Mariota is probably one of the most coachable. Every coach likes Marcus Mariota because he's the most coachable, amicable, like, I'll do what you want kind of guy. The problem is he wants to be safe. He's so eager to please that he gets a little conservative. So you got to kind of have to have a guy with edge. And Marcus Mariota, well, if he finds that edge, then he can be a starter. But I really don't have high hopes because, I mean, what is this? He started with Tennessee, then he moved to Las Vegas, and then he's somewhere else, was it? Well, I don't know, somewhere in between, maybe, I can't remember. But what do you think of Marcus Mariota? Do you think he could finally emerge, like, as a late bloomer? Like, is it?
No, I have my doubt. I think he's just keeping the seat warm for Ridder. And I think he'll have some splashy weeks, you know, fantasy wise.
When do you think we see Ridder enter? Like, it'd be six.
And Patterson.
Yeah. Right. When do you think we see Ridder?
So I think he's not going to be, I don't think he's going to last the whole year as a starter. I think Ridder will take over sometime, probably the second half, because they're going to be so behind in games. They're going to be a horrible team. So I think Ridder will be there. Second half of the year.
Yeah. Other rookie quarterback, Matt Corral for Carolina. Carolina's in a bit of a, well, you know, you've got Mayfield there. Well, you're a Browns fan. You know the inside and outs of Mayfield. Is this good for Mayfield? Does Mayfield make the move into the, you know, start making the move to start looking elite?
Yeah, I don't know if he'll ever be elite, but he's a borderline starting NFL quarterback. But I think, you know, he got a kind of a raw deal in Cleveland. He spent 4 years here and got his name thrown through the mud here, and he's kind of a prime example why some players only come to Cleveland. He's got a funny attitude, doesn't he?
He's got a funny attitude problem.
I agree. Yeah, he's arrogant. He's not much of a teammate to some of the players. I mean, some he's great, but the majority of them, he kind of, thinks he's above them a little bit too much. And the fact that, you know, the Browns brass thought they wanted to have adult in the team, you know, kind of obviously took a shot at Mayfield, but then they replaced him with the POS like Watson. That's a whole other story. But I think Mayfield will do okay there. I think he's obviously a better alternative than Darnold. I'm not sure why he's still playing anywhere. But I think, you know, Corral will eventually take over, whether it probably won't be this year, but next year. And Mayfield's just an improving year. I think he'll do fine. I think he's going to upgrade DJ Moore. Moore finally have a quarterback that can throw to him. And McCaffrey's healthy, which, you know, we never know what that's a flip a coin. If he's healthy, then the offense, I think, will strive. But
yeah,
as
yeah.
Quarterback two, I think Mayfield is, he's a decent quarterback too. Nothing else.
Yeah, I think you're right. Darnold had his prove it year last in 2021.
Yeah, I remember the beginning of the year when he was doing his rushing touchdowns and people were picking him up like, going tomorrow. Uh-huh. And then, you know, it was like, yeah, Darnold's doing great. Look at him. And then
another thing, folks. Do not trust September. Trust September ever. Mark my words. Okay, folks, that are listening to this podcast, do not trust September. Never trust September.
Absolutely.
The season starts in October. Consider September sort of like another preseason where, you know, September is the month that you sell high and then get your, you know, scoop guys. So remember, September is... September is not when the season, it does, of course, the season starts in September. I'm not saying that, but I think the drift is that the season in earnest begins October. So don't trust the numbers in September, and don't sway it, and don't feel bad if you miss the rush to the waiver wire. A lot changes in October, and October is the month when football is coming. Okay. So that's enough of Matt Corral. And we got some other guys, Malik Willis, who's, you know, he's sort of in the shadow of, you know, Ryan Tannehill. So he's he's the other guy there. Nobody else to talk about for quarterbacks. So let's move on to running backs, rookie running backs, and some interesting guys here. Usually there's that one running back who, you know, gets into the top 20, but I think the only guy that I have in my top 20 who's a rookie is Ken Walker of Seattle. And with, I think I heard just Rashad Penny has gotten injured, and Chris Carson is definitely on the outs. So Rashad Penny I have at RB24. I've got Ken Walker at RB19. I think I would rather have Walker than Penny. What do you say?
Yeah, I'd rather draft Walker. But the question, where do you have Breece Hall slotted at?
Breece Hall of 25.
Wow. Yeah, I would rather have Breece Hall than Walker. I think Breece Hall is enormous talent. He's probably going to share the ball a little bit with Carter. But
that's right. That's the reason why I don't have him so high, because I think Carter's still, you know, he's still a force to be reckoned with. I mean, you could definitely have a Denver situation like we had last with that.
Yeah, true. But I think Breece Hall, I think, is more of a playmaker. You could hit the ball in the house anytime he touches the ball. So, and he catches the ball a lot. So I think Breece Hall is going to be a stud. Even this year, I think Carter will do well as well, but I think Breece Hall is going to do phenomenal. I have him as my 20th running back.
Mm. All right. Okay. Breece Hall is number 20. I've got him 25. It's in the ballpark.
Yeah. A little different. Yeah. Not much, but.
It's not like wildly different. Over 10 or something. 10 different spots.
Yeah. Sure. Different. Like our Davante Adams deal.
Yeah. Okay. So, but again, though, I'm not particularly impressed. I think this is an attrition year for the Seahawks. I don't think we're looking at a lot of touchdowns for you. Cause I mean, like, let's face it, touchdowns are the, you know, that's the fist pump of fantasy football. And if the Seahawks aren't going to be doing a lot of scoring, the Seahawks turn out to be, I mean, look what Denver did with Drew Locke and Smith. I mean, I don't see a heavy scoring team like he had with Russell Wilson. I mean,
right.
Russell Wilson could post the points, you know? I mean, even in games where they're lost, where they've lost, Russell Wilson would try to get the team back in and rally, you know, kind of in most cases it would be a fruitless rally, but I mean, he would still try to score touchdowns, which is good for your, we don't care about a failed rally or whether it's a rally. Right. As long as the team is trying to score touchdowns, you get those fantasy points.
Absolutely.
I don't think Drew Locke or Geno Smith are the people that can do that.
They don't scare anybody.
They don't scare anybody. You're right. That's the way to put it. I'm looking at a bust, but we're going to talk about busts on a future program, so I'm not going to talk about it. We're talking about rookies. James Cook at Buffalo.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I wonder about the ball share is going to be there in Buffalo. You know, Singletary. You know, it seems like Moss is kind of on the way out.
Yeah,
he's not getting the ball as much, but Cook is a playmaker, and everything's glowing so far in camp with him.
Yeah,
you know, I think he's going to be someone that's going to contribute, but the problem will be be kind of hit or miss with him. So I mean, maybe good as a flex option for your team, PPR option, but I don't know if I would trust him as my second running back even, because you're not sure what's going to happen there. Plus, Josh Allen runs the ball in a lot as well, so. You know, it's kind of limited ceiling with if you have that many options to deal with. And I still think Singletary is going to be the bell cow there.
Yeah, indeed. We got next Damian Pierce of Houston.
Yeah. It's kind of a sneaky pick in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, who else is going to get the ball there? It's, Eck or Burkhead. I take a shot with Pierce. He's a good stash candidate in the back end of your roster.
Uh-huh. I have him at RB46. I should have actually put him ahead of Sony Michel. I don't know. I really got to change this because I got James Robinson at RB44 and on. So I don't know.
He's looking healthy.
Yeah, he's looking healthy and good. And
right.
He's one of the best undrafted free agents running back there's been for a long time.
Yeah. He was a league winner for a lot of people to pick them up there.
Definitely.
He was awesome. But now, you get Hurst and then now Etienne's going to be there. So that there's going to be an interesting offense. I mean, hopefully Lawrence can step up because they try to put some talent around him to make his job easier. And they got, you know, Doug Peterson coaching now. So now they don't have Urban Meyer screwing up that offense.
Yep.
It was freaking horrible. Jeez. But
yeah, he wouldn't let him play.
Yeah, he was not an NFL coach. That's for sure.
He's kind of, I don't know, there's something, I think there's something wrong with Urban.
Yeah, I love him because he was a Ohio State guy, but he
was great. Yeah, he's great college coach, like
absolutely,
great motivator.
Yeah. He should have stayed there. He shouldn't have tried to go to the pros.
Yeah, that happens a lot. I mean,
yeah.
But in some cases it works out. Like Jim Harbaugh wasn't too bad, but we may see him back someday. Well, I don't know. They had such a great ending of the season with Michigan. Well, not the greatest, but I mean, they won a big game there that was huge for his career.
Yeah, they trounced the Buckeyes, which I don't like.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah. Rub it in. No
problem. All right. Anyways, we got a couple more. We're getting near time. We're going to have to finish off the wide receivers next week with the wide receivers and tight ends, and then we'll move on to other topics. But we'll finish off the running backs here. We'll go to, what about, we got Brian Robinson or Rashad White of Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
I should actually have Robinson ahead of White. I'm just going to put
that. You think so? I have reversed that. I think I already have White and then Robinson.
Well, I had him ahead, but about five spots, but now I don't know.
Well, if it's PPR, I think you'd go with White, definitely. And Robinson's
I guess since they lost Geo, I guess he's kind of the guy that, I mean, and, well, I still think Fournette is a force that we reckon with in that offense. I mean,
yeah.
Does Rashad White have any standalone value? That's the thing, is it? Or is he going to be something like Nyheim Hines, where you get a burst every week, and then 2 weeks is 3 weeks is nothing, 4 weeks is nothing, and finally in week five, there's something happens. Ooh, he did something. You know, right. Like, he had a big game or something. You know, is it going to be like that, or is it, what's it going to be with Rashad White? You know.
Yeah, we don't know. I think he has the potential to be, you know, a third down option for them. You know, give Fournette a break, and he should produce. I think he'll be a good running back in that system. But like I said, Fournette's the king there, so as long as he stays healthy, he's gonna be limited what he's gonna do there. So I think Robinson's more of a goal line option in Washington than anything else.
You know, yes, because of Antonio Gibson. Yeah, Gibson's good.
Yeah, right? Gibson, McKissick, those guys are the pass catchers. Robinson's more of a goal line. He's a big guy, so I think he is a goal line option. I think that's all he's going to be. But obviously that weighs in for fantasy. You know, he scores touchdowns. I mean,
But
I think PPR-wise, I'd rather go with White. Mm. PPR, I'd probably go with Robinson.
And, of course, we have Isaiah Spiller, another guy who's sort of a cuff, you know.
Yeah, I agree. Right. Yep. Yeah, he's a lot better than the other backups they had it up for Eckler there. Yeah, the other guys did not come through.
And you mentioned Tyler Aguirre of Atlanta. He's definitely, I have him only at 50, so I should put him up a little.
He has opportunity to be the main guy there.
Yeah, you kind of got to put him up a little bit more. Gee, I have him way too low. Can I put him ahead of Patterson? That's the question.
Yeah, I don't know. Patterson's more multidimensional. I think he would. Yeah, I think you got to leave Patterson ahead of him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Decisions. I'll decide that later.
What do you think of Isaiah Pacheco from Kansas City?
Isaiah Pacheco? I haven't even got him on my list.
Oh, yeah?
I got Isaiah Spiller.
He's getting a lot of buzz.
I don't think he's on my list here. What is this? Isaiah Pacheco. All right. Okay, he's getting a lot of buzz.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll put him on my list, and I'll examine him later. Like I say, I'm a little bit behind on some of these guys. I'll have to watch the preseason game to get give him the eye test. What's the word on him anyway?
He's an outshining Ronald Jones so far. I think that's why Jones is kind of on the outs.
Ooh.
And so he's looking very good so far. I mean, he was doing a lot of things, and Mahone's been praising him, so that's always a good sign. So I think he may get some. I think they still want to have CH be the main guy. Hopefully he can come through. He's been injured, not producing. Hopefully he can come through. It's a huge dark horse, but at the back end of your roster, I mean, it's worth a dart throw.
Well, okay. Well, you get a chance to see him against the Bears. on Saturday night.
There you go.
So in preseason, so make sure you mark that on your calendar there to make sure you watch the Bears and Chiefs. That's one of the games to take a look at. But anyways, Dennis, great opener to the show. Any final thoughts about anything that we've talked about so far, and what else we can look forward to? And
looking forward to having football back. Great to talk about fantasy with you, and look forward to this season.
It's interesting. I find it moves along faster without when it's just audio, and I think a lot of people just like audio. People, I know a lot of people, they, when it comes to podcasts and that, they listen to it on their iPhone when they're on the bus or something like that. They don't bother.
Yeah.
They don't even watch the people talking. I mean, what's the point? You're a talking head. So.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, they don't watch that. Yeah, I always listen to, my work or something, I listen to it and stuff. So, I don't care what they, I know what the guys look like, but like, I don't even watch them do their boot arms around and stuff. You know what I mean? I don't care about that.
I know, exactly. You know? Unless there's graphics they got to show. I mean, maybe.
Yeah, then, yeah, of course.
I mean, but I can even do that in the, in the YouTube upload.
Right.
But, I mean, if, I should look into doing that sort of thing for people. But, as the season goes on, but I think people like this podcast. It's, it's kind of a laid-back podcast. And, judge it the way it comes out. But, we will finish off the rookie wide receivers and tight ends next week. And maybe earlier in the week, I don't know. We'll find out a time when we're going to be doing this, but it'll be up here at fantasysixpack.net along with a slew of other podcasts that you can to get others' opinions on stuff, and not just us. I mean, we know that we're the best, but they're good too.
They're all right.
So, they're all right.
I want to get a lot of crap for that one. I'm slack for that one. I can tell you.
Yeah, I know. Especially if they listen to the podcast and hear me say, "Oh yeah,
they do."
They wouldn't like that too much. But,
Joe and AJ.
But it's true. Pack. We are the best. It's true. That's true. I looked at the statistics last year after our podcast. It was like people clicking on the page link and listening to the podcast. The page link, people go to it and they like it. So we obviously must be doing something right, Dennis.
Yeah.
And Davis Peng, and the Davis Peng, and I won't forget Davis Peng who fills in when you can't make it.
I was going to tell you.
So that'll do it for us. We'll talk a little bit more about our draft in the F6P 2 league. F6P2, and we'll finish off. We'll talk about all a bunch of stuff next week. Thank you for joining us on the Fantasy Edge. For Dennis Sosik, I'm Richard Seville. See you next week. Take care, everybody.